Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
You know what I saw this morning? I saw a lot of healings this morning. Yeah, come on, let's give the Lord a... It's almost as though, like, there's the two people that I spoke to, all the people that they prayed for got healed. And most of the people I prayed for either improve or receive healing. So, no, seriously, like, we believe all days are alike. I personally do. But sometimes God just pours something extra, isn't it? Brent Hollow, are you here? Brent, you want to come here, man? Welcome, Brent, everyone. Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. So, just got a little testimony here. Brent says that he has a knee injury for the last 20 years. So, tell us, man.
I was in two car accidents as a young child. So, I've had pretty extensive injuries to my right side of my body and my back. This morning, I asked Pastor Lee to pray for me because I felt some tightness through my quads and the back of my leg. Believe it or not, as soon as your hand touched me, I felt relief. I wouldn't say it's 100% better, but I have felt improvement in that. And to say that after 25 years is pretty big thing, because I've got to know my body after that long, and I can tell you it feels better. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. The reason I'm saying that is I feel like just addressing something, you know. Ever heard of this thing called the New Apostolic Reformation? No. Well, there's a group of people that really hates the nah, and apparently anyone who moves in healings and deliverances are part of the nah. It's made by this guy called C. Peter Wagner, and apparently he's the head of this mysterious movement, which we are a part of. I'll tell you what, man, I've never heard Pastor Dan talk about C. Peter Wagner. I don't know who the guy is, never read his book. But it comes from, I did my research, it comes from a cessationist camp. This camp, man, you know what? I love them. I actually do. But they don't like us. But I still love their sermons. Can you believe it? These people... they've got some sermons that are just awesome. You know, if I can ignore that 10%, the rest of it is 90% is brilliant. I love what they do. I love what they say. I love their heart. Love for the truth. But I'm not even misquoting this. I watch a sermon. They go, they believe that out of all the Pentecostals in the world, which is, we are the largest denomination in the world, by the way, Pentecostal movement. He believes that there'll be a handful of us in heaven. So that's what he believes. So, you know, you can either get offended or you can go, well, I disagree with that. And then I just keep watching. You follow me? Right, because 90% is good other than just that bit. You don't have to get triggered at everything. You can actually go, well, everything else is amazing. Your Christology, soteriology, like doctrine of salvation, brilliant, brilliant stuff. Just, and then his mentor, which is R.C. Sproul, he's passed away, gone to heaven. But he's preached sermons, right? Sometimes it takes me like 4 or 5 times listening to it to understand what he's saying. Like, it's so deep and heavy. Like, I can hear it and I go, what the heck did he just say? I'm like, whoa. And then, like, my heart says, that's amazing. My head goes, what? And so I have to rewind to watch it. But I can watch these people. That's the point. Well, they don't like us. They don't believe that the miraculous power of God still continues. Not R.C. Sproul. He's very friendly and nice. But can you stand up, Mr. Kieran? If you don't, I'm sorry. Oh, no, I didn't warn you. But can you stand up, Kieran? This is Kieran, everybody. Was that 6 years ago? 6.5 years ago, he came here, doesn't believe in God. The doctor says, you got 6 months to live. Pick your coffin. The doctor says, nothing else we can do. It's like, oh, good luck to you. And then he came here because he got invited. got prayed for, got liver cancer, is it correct? 6 months to live. That was 6.5 years ago. Can we give the Lord a round of applause? The point I'm trying to make is some people say that, yeah, the power of God ends with the apostles, but there's evidences here of God still alive. Right? In the Gospel of Genesis, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater, because I'm going to go to the Father. So we're seeing it on a daily basis. Right? So he has his opinion, this gentleman, amazing preacher, but I disagree with him. So I'm just going to address that. So if people here, it's like you part of the Nah church, you go, like seriously, every page of the gospel is like, is healings, miracles. Jesus ruined every funeral he went to. Did you know that? Every single one, including his own. So I had another gentleman telling me, you know what? There's no more miracles after the book of Acts. As far as I understand, I think Paul died not long after the book of Acts, isn't it? He was in Rome, got arrested, I think got beheaded not long after that. So of course there's no more mention of it. It's like you got the gospel, the book of Acts, and then the rest are theology. So that's why there's no more mention of it, because Paul was explaining the doctrines and theology. So anyway, if you don't want to believe, you don't believe. But for those who believe, we see it. And so I believe that God tells us to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to cast out devils. Again, my introduction to the power of God is I was lost in sin. I was blind. I was taking drugs, selling drugs. My mom been praying for me. As I was getting arrested, I said, God, wasn't this? Again, and check this out. I used to swear like a trooper. Little kids just block your ears, man. My salvation prayer was, effing God, if you're effing real, this is effing now, man. I effed up my life. And then the fire of God came. And he went inside and I got born again. I got set free from drug addiction. That's how I spoke. I didn't know, oh Lord, thou who dwellest in heaven. I beseech thee. You know, I didn't know that. I just spoke like what I normally like, God, I blip it and blip it. If you can watch my replay clip of Lee's salvation, it'd be like beep, 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 Jesus, beep. And then he came anyway. You with me? Our God is alive. He's not dead. It's a shame. It's a shame to go to a church that doesn't believe in the power of God. All you do is come here, pay your money, and then leave again. You don't even get anything in return. But we thank God, our God is alive. Amen? So today I'm going to talk about Pentecost. And I love what Pastor Alex mentioned this morning, because my sermon is actually very similar to his sermon this morning. So very exciting. So I'm going to open up with, let's pray. Hey. Ooh, pray. Jesus. Need you, God. This is your day, Lord. We need your Holy Spirit. God, we ask that you pour your Spirit once again, Lord. Thank you for what you've given. Thank you for what you've done. But it's not enough, Lord. You know, the world is still ignoring us. We need miracles where even the media cannot deny, God. We need some outrageous, world-shaking signs and wonders, God. Oh, but all for your glory, Lord. So, God, we ask right now that you just speak through me, prepare the hearts, God, and I pray that you touch people, Lord, and ignite them. Let us not be the same again, in Jesus' name. Okay. Did you know that there are 7 festivals of the Lord? Okay. So we're going to begin with, I'm going to try this one. Whoop. Oh, yeah. Can you guys see that? The dot. So there are 4 spring festivals. The Jews have 7 festivals. There are 4 spring festivals. It begins with, we all know it, my aiming, Passover. right? It's the first Passover is celebrating, Pastor Alex mentioned it, is the exodus of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery. So they were in Egypt. Pharaoh's whipping them, make him make bricks for his building, for his city. And then God comes along, keeping his promise to Abraham, says, set my people free through Moses. And then Pharaoh says, no. And then Moses go back and forth, this plague. And then finally, if you don't let my people go, I'm going to kill every firstborn of everything in your land. And the children of Israel were commanded, they're given a way out, say, you must sacrifice a lamb. But before you sacrifice the lamb, you keep the lamb in your house for 3 days. 3 days. So that, anyway, to get attached, a little bit attached to the lamb, and then you kill the lamb. You can't break its bones. You know that none of Jesus' bones were broken? And then the lamb was killed, and then it says, apply the blood on the doorpost. And then the angel of death would come, and it says, if the angel of death sees houses with the blood on the doorpost, he would pass over it. The first Passover. It's symbolic of Jesus. Then, did you know that Jesus was actually sacrificed on the day of the Passover? He was nailed on the cross in the hour of the morning sacrifice, which is actually the third watch or the 9 a.m. And then he passed away at 3 p.m. in the hour of the evening sacrifice. Are you following me? Jesus, so some people say, you know, Christians, you got blind faith. Because actually, my faith is not blind. I don't have a blind faith. My faith is, I've researched enough and invested enough into this to know that my faith is factual. I've researched where this book came from. You know, that's why there's a beautiful thing like to listen to people who actually disagree with you. When I got saved, we used to go witnessing, and then, you know, it was in Dandong, and there was a lot of Muslims, and their typical argument is that the Bible has been corrupted. That actually made me go home and research where the Bible came from. You know what I found? It's not corrupted. Then I went and read the Quran because I want to do my research. You know what I found? It's like a child's knowledge of the Bible. Drink a six-pack, then try to recite it back. It's not in order. It is. It's like a drunken rant. 1 minute, the Jews is friendly. Next thing, kill them. And then it's like a rant. Gives me headaches. And then they say that, you know, that Moses was crucified or something. It was just like all the times and the places was wrong. Are you following me? So I did my research. And so I can actually stand into a Muslim and argue with them. They actually like arguing. They want you to stand up for your belief. You know, the Middle Eastern culture is very macho. So if you just agree with them, they think you're weak and they just lose respect for you. So then after the unleavened bread, the Passover, it begins 7 days of unleavened bread. Yeah, I'll get back to this. And then the next day begins the first fruit festival. Did you know that Jesus rose again on the day of the first fruit festival? Because the Bible says he is the first fruit from the dead. Listen to this. Jesus fulfilled the first four festivals to the day and the hour. There's seven festivals. I kept mentioning this. Like, I'm not one of these people that says that we have to, like, re-obey the Jewish festivals. But I believe they are teaching tools. And the way Jesus fulfilled the first four makes me think that I got to pay attention to the last three. Are you with me? If you fulfill it to the day or the hour, you having no knowledge actually could backfire on you. Yeah? And then after the first fruit festival, seven by seven, you get to this day, Pentecost. But going back to the first fruit, on the day of the first fruit, you are to bring barley, sheaves of barley. It is the beginning of the spring season. It is the beginning of the harvest season. So the very first grain is actually barley grain. And on the day of first fruit, you got to bring a sheaf of barley to the temple. Did you know that barley lacks gluten? So because it lacks gluten, it cannot be made into a bread with yeast. It doesn't expand. So you know what they make with that? Flatbreads. In the Bible, yeast is usually symbolic of sin. So the first four festivals is about Jesus because he is symbolic of the barley grain because he is without sin. Then after that, you have 7 days to celebrate how Jesus is the bread without sin. Are you following me? Okay. Then you get to Pentecost, which is right after first fruit. The day after first fruit is, on the day of first fruit, you start counting 7 weeks, 7 by 7. And then you bring the wheat. Okay. Move forward. Next slide. And you got the last three festivals, which is autumn festivals, trumpets, the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur, and then the Festival of Booth, which is called Sukkot. Trumpets. Trumpets starts when you see the first sliver, because Jews, they go with the moon, right? So their calendar starts with the moon, right? So the way they count is that when they see the first sliver of moon, that marks the beginning of the day. So until that day, that's why Festival of Trumpets is actually celebrated over 2 days. And when they see the first sliver of the new moon, they start blowing the trumpets. Jesus says, Paul says, when the day of the Lord, of the return, is in the twinkling of an eye, in the sounding of the last trumpets. Be aware of the trumpets. This has not come to pass because Jesus hasn't returned. Then, 10 days later, you get this thing called Day of Atonement. This is in the Old Testament, is when the high priest would go into the holies of holy and he would bring, first of all, he would do it twice. And so sprinkle blood over the mercy seat. Back in the Old Testament, the high priest would bring the blood and sprinkle it 7 times. The first time is for himself. Then he would go back out again, grab another blood of another bull, comes back in and sprinkle the 2nd time. This is a type and a shadow saying that the high priest is to be without sin. This is why Jesus went up only once, because he is the only high priest without sin. Are you following me? So this is also about Jesus. And then 5 days later, Israel is to come and to present all the fruits now to celebrate the season of harvest. So I'll summarize all of that. The 7 festivals of the Lord is about harvest. People say, you know how you go, people say, it's like, where in the Bible is this talk about the last great revival? Here, in types and shadows. Because when the day of Pentecost first time happened, 3,000 men and women and children, 3,000 men and then women and children got saved. It marks the beginning of the harvest season. Then the harvest has gone on. You guys are the wheat. Hopefully all of you are the wheat. If you're not, we're going to give you a chance to accept Jesus and accept the Passover lamb, and you're going to be made brand new. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I'm going to give space for the Holy Spirit to just bring conviction right now. Make their hearts shake, Lord. The Spirit of God come to bring conviction. Next slide. So we go. I just felt like including this. Okay, so this is the first Pentecost ever in the Old Testament, Exodus 19. Then it came to pass on the 3rd day. Oh. Sorry. I lost it here. All right. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud. Again, the sound of the trumpet, because God is a king. In the olden days, before the king approaches, they're usually heralds, and they blow a trumpet to signal the approach of the king. That's why in the New Testament, there's going to be sounds of trumpet to herald the coming of the king. Are you with me? So that all the people who were in the camp trembled, and Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke descended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountains, and Moses went up. You know what happened in that story? God actually says to the whole country to say, come up here. Then the children of Israel got scared and says, Moses, we're scared, we're going to die. You go up there. So they could have gone up there, but they didn't want to. Next slide. Okay. Then what happens is Exodus 20 is God gives the Ten Commandments and then the rest of the law. Don't do this, do this, don't do this, do this. And then at the end of that is Exodus 32. So when Moses was up in the mountain getting all the law, the Ten Commandments and all the law, this is what the people did. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together and says, come make us gods that shall go down before us. As for this Moses, they brought him out of the land of Egypt. We don't know what became of him. Go back to the previous slide. So the mountain was thundering and lightning, thick cloud, trumpet and fire. The children of Israel were down on the mountain. They looked up. They go, Moses hasn't come back down. So let us make some golden calf. Anyone here like with me here? I'm looking at that going, how stupid do you have to be? No, seriously, some people go, oh, God is so cruel, you know. It's like, look what. I look at that and I go, wow. That is a stupid anointing on special. They're like, oh my goodness. Imagine the mountain. The whole nation can see it, right? There's thunders, lightning. The mountain is on fire. Smoke is coming up. Sounds of trumpet. There's voices. And then they go, let's make a golden statue. Oh, man. And some people go, oh, God, it's cruel. I'm like, what do you mean it's cruel? It's like, these people are stupid. Anyway, that's just me. Mercy level of 9, all right? As Pastor Alex says, that's just me. Next slide. And then you fast forward. And then God says, Moses, stand aside. Let me kill them. Moses goes, no, Lord, don't kill them. These are the people that you brought out of Egypt. He went down, saw them, and he goes, kill them! That is like literally what happened. Anyway, you guys, anyway, that's what happened. Anyway, so the tribes of Levi, like no one got it. It's awesome. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men died that day. So this is what happened in the first Pentecost. 3,000 people died. Move forward to the New Testament. Acts chapter 2, 41. Oh, this, man, it's like sometimes it's hard to just pick certain verses because like the whole area is good, but that would just send me into another tangent. And yes. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be safe from this perverse generation. Ah, isn't that a great salvation call? Be safe from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly receive his word, this is Peter, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. In the Old Testament, 3,000 died. In the New Testament, 3,000 got saved. Not a coincidence, is it? Same day, different covenant. Yeah, come on, let's give the Lord a round of applause. That's pretty amazing. Is This is why people are saying blind faith. It goes, my faith is not blind. There's too many of these. Too many in the Bible. It's not a coincidence, not an accident. God is just putting his fingerprint everywhere. And it's there for you to find. Next slide. Go back again. Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, in the festivals, you are to bring sheaves of wheat. Wheat is, you can turn wheat into bread. And then on this day, you are also to bring and to present to God 2 loaves of bread with yeast. And I watch about 7 different sermons on this. I was just curious trying to find out the meaning of the bread. 7 sermons all got different meanings. So I'm just going to make it up like the rest of them. So it's just pretty much, this is my opinion. So I'm trying to find like if anyone like line up, but none of them did. So, all right. So they all say that the bread means this, means that. I'm like, okay, all right, whatever. Pentecost marks the beginning of the harvest. In Israel, in the beginning of the harvest, there's an early rain. And then finally, in the end of the harvest, in the fall festivals, there's this thing called the later rain. It's the later outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and it causes all the grains and all the fruit to ripen up. They ripen up because God is about to thrust the sickle and harvest. And then it says, there's going to be tares and wheat. Remember, there's a parable, and then the angel goes, let's pluck up the tares. And then the master goes, don't pluck them up because you might pull out some of the wheat. Let them grow, and then in the end, we'll sort it out. Tares are called bastard wheat. They go up, they don't have grain, so they stay up. Wheat goes up, develops grain, and then they bow. Okay? Okay. Beware of the last 3. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying pay attention. There's clues. For me, I find this fascinating. I love this stuff. I love this stuff. People ask me, it's like, what do you do? Someone asked me, like, do you have a hobby? I said, I read the Bible. And he goes, no. Like, do you have a hobby? And he goes, snorkeling. I hate sharks, man. Anyway, that's another story. I watch, you know, you click on one clip of a shark attack and then it just keeps giving you. So I watch like a whole night's worth. You know, it's like, it's not good, but you just kept watching it. It's like the pimple squeezing thing. Have you seen that? Anyway. You should watch them. It's disgusting. And good. Just like. But anyway, I watched too many of them and now I don't want to go into the water. Back to Jesus. go back. Yes. Okay, forward. The Holy Spirit is the power to be a witness. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Next slide. The Holy Spirit is given so we can preach the gospel. Luke 4. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, so I can roll around. No. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to tell those who are captive that they are free, and then to have the power to back up what you just said. To tell them that they are free from all bondages and prison, and then have the power to rip them out of the prison. This is deliverance. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is given so we can do the work of the ministry. Are you following me? Next slide. The Holy Spirit is power. Say power.
Power.
Now, I think this is fascinating because Pastor Alex's message this morning is really towards the power. And then in the prayer line, we saw power. And then I thought my message was quite similar because this is not a coincidence.
It's Holy Spirit.
That's right. The Holy Spirit is wanting to say something. By two or three witnesses, everything is established. Acts 10, verse 38. How God has anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing some who were oppressed by the devil. What? Healing a few. Healing three. You guys read your Bible, eh? Healing all. Say all.
All.
Who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Oh, yeah, thank you for that one person clapping. The Holy Spirit is also given, so we develop the fruits of the Spirit. Okay? But I really feel I didn't include that because that's really important as well, the fruits of the Spirit. And I think our critics have that against us. They say that Pentecostals are known for the lights, the smoke machine, the jumping around, the tight pants, the dress, the clothes, you know. But and then you move in power, but you've got no character. I kind of agree. So it's important for us to pursue the fruit of the Spirit as well as the power of God. Because I think we can mistakenly think that just because we're seeing people saved or healed and delivered, that God is ignoring our character flaws. Are you with me? So God wants us to go after the fruits again. But today, that's not the message. Today, the message is about the power of God. That's why I didn't include that, but it is dear in my heart. Next slide. Do you know him? John 14 says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. Praise God. Now, I had a man correcting me for my sermon this morning. I didn't preach this morning. It was Pastor Alex. So that's why I was just laughing. He goes, you know, he's like, you preached it wrong. And I'm like, what the heck are you talking about? And I'm like, oh, you thought I'm Alex. That's why I'm laughing. But then he just keeps going. And he's like, but you know what's funny? All the stuff that he brought up saying we did it wrong, I mentioned it. But anyway, it's just funny that God's answering it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper. Don't misgender God. Not a she, not a mother. It's a he. Father always referring to Jesus as the Son. When he appeared, he's a male. Jesus refers to God as the Father, and if you see him, he's going to be a male. So Jesus and the Son says of the Holy Spirit, not a she, he. Another helper, another of the same kind, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. You know what orphans is? No father, no mother, no parents. Because I will come to you. So Jesus says, I will send the Holy Spirit, when you have the Holy Spirit, I will come to you. So, whoo, Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Oh. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. This is where we get the Trinity. You get the Father, the Word, the Spirit, all three are one. It's one of those, when you see him, you'll figure it out. It is. It's at the end of the day, I tried getting understanding this, but it's just every analogy I have sort of falls apart at some point. And it's one of those things where I just go, well, I just can't comprehend it. I just have to accept it. Our God is three and our God is one. That's why it's called triune God. That's where we get the word Trinity. Triune in unity. But Jesus says, it's good that I go away. Because if I go away, I'll send you another helper. And I always say this, because if Jesus was here physically, bodily, if you want to see him, it's going to be 1 billion of us trying to see Jesus. It's going to be a hard, hard, long wait. Hate to be the PA of Jesus. You know, it's just like all these phone calls, text messages, just like emails every day. So Jesus says, it's good that I go away, because when I go away, I give you the Holy Spirit. And so that if you ask God to come into your heart, if you give your life to Jesus, Jesus and the Father will release the Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh. You know, one of our core values this year is the Ruach. It's the breath of God. Ruach HaKodesh is the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. And so when we ask God to come into our life, he says, it's good that I can't come to you physically. I'll send you my Spirit who can fill every single one of you so that all of you can have God inside of you. So that you all can speak to God. You all can have a relationship with God. But not only that, we all become little Christs. Where we can go out to the world. You know what? What did the Bible say? We are what? The temple of God. The temple is a place where the people come and meet God. Today, you are the temple of God. Where the Gentile can meet God. Oh. I got some here. You are the temple of God. People of the world can meet God when they meet you. Are you guys going to get excited? Just kidding, man. But yes, we are the temple of God. That's why Jesus says, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's like when Jesus arrived, he goes, kingdom of God is near you. He goes, where's the kingdom of God? Inside of me. So right now, like, you know, there's different angles. Like when you talk about Jesus, salvation, the cross, there's so many angles in it. Well, the whole book is about Jesus, so you can't finish that, all the sermon and hit every angle in one go. It's just endless. But one of the points that when you ask Jesus into your life is that you become little Christ. It's not only like Jesus came down to not only do like healing the sick and casting out devil, he's actually showing us what we are capable of. Do you know a human, this is R.C. Sproul, a human being is the only creature that is composite in design. Composite, multiple part. A human being is designed from the very beginning to have the Holy Spirit, spirit, soul, and body. Are you following me? So a human being without the Holy Spirit is actually incomplete. The Bible calls it dead. So right now, when we say, would you like to have Jesus in your life? It is the forgiveness of sins. But it is the restoration of the fallen man back to its state before the fall, back to the Garden of Eden. Relationship restored, glory restored, power restored, the image and the likeness of God restored. It says Jesus, when he walked down the earth, he was beaten beyond recognition because mankind, through sin, was beaten beyond recognition. God came to his own. He says, Jesus walked amongst us. He says, his own did not recognize him. We lost the image of God that when Jesus walked around, we couldn't recognize what God looked like. Are you following me? So can I get every head bow, every eyes closed? Holy Spirit, help me. If there's anyone here who have not given their life to Jesus, this is your chance. God forgives you. But not only that, he adopts you. You become a new creature. All things have passed away. You get a new identity and you get to walk out to live out of that new identity. You go from being a sinner to being a son. You go from being an orphan to a beloved child. You have a God. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are restored. And you walk the rest of the time discovering this amazing gift that God has purchased on Calvary. If you'd like to accept Jesus, here's your chance. Can I get you to lift up your hand? Is there anyone here who wants to accept Jesus, who wants to give their life to Jesus today? Is there anyone here? Maybe you've been away from God. You know it in your heart. You have been walking with him. Here is your chance. Maybe you've been lukewarm, indifferent. That's one of the scariest places to be. Because at least people who are not right with God know they're not right with God. You know, just because I go to McDonald's does not make me a Big Mac. You can come to church, does not make you a Christian. Do you know him? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you speak to him? Does he guide you? Is he the Lord of your life? Last chance. Is there anyone here you would like to give your life to Jesus? I was so lost without God. Yeah, thank you, brother. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Come on, man. Come on. Thank you. Come forward, sir. I was so lost without God. I was taking drugs and thinking, you know what? I used to believe that as long as I'm not hurting anyone, it'll be all right. One day I was selling these drugs. It's called GHB. Bought it in a water bottle. This young lady came in the car, thought it was a bottle of water, took a mouthful. Long story short, she died. It was in this moment that I say, God, if you exist, you don't seem to do much around me these days or ever, but I need you to do something now. And then the fire of God came near me. It went inside and I became a brand new creation. Then I started following him. And you know what? My life has just been awesome. It was hard first because God was ripping the world out of me. But then once that was gone, it's good. You know, I have peace. I don't have to go through life by myself. You know, I can face troubles and problems together with him. And then he speaks to me. He loves me. So is there anyone else? I reckon there could be one more person. Is there anyone else? Would you like to begin to walk with Jesus? If not, let's pray this prayer. I'm going to lead you through a prayer. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Sorry for living life my own way. Today, I'm asking for your help. Today, I surrender. Would you please come into my heart? Fill my heart with your spirit. Let me know your peace. Let me know your love. And thank you, God, that I am now your son. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, brother. Welcome to the family.
Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about Fire Church, head to our website, firechurch.com.au. And don't forget to connect with us on social media, on Instagram, fire.church, Facebook, Fire Church, and YouTube, Fire Church TV. Have a blessed week.